Let's go ahead and get started. Am I on? You guys can hear me? All right. Just so I can stop all of the questions, no bear for me. I got the sea bear, but no bear was brave enough to come within the sight. Lucky for me. Yeah, no bear. Next time. Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you need a Bible, there's one provided under one of the chairs in front of you, or you can look on with a neighbor. A study sheet is going to be really helpful for you. So if you need one, just raise your hand. If you're new here and you're embarrassed to raise your hand, don't be. We're all in on that, so just raise your hand, get the usher's attention. Today we begin our textual study of Hebrews 11, so great a cloud of witnesses, and not the study of the book of Hebrews, but Hebrews 11. And this study applies directly to our 2026 vision throughout this year, titled Increase Your Faith. And has to do with all of the goals that we want to achieve this year. The title of the message is Defining Biblical Faith. We're going to look at some things that we kind of touched base on already 3 weeks ago when I introduced this study. Our text, though, today is Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. And this morning, don't be afraid. With the time, it's an abbreviated message due to all the family business. Now, you guys don't think I can ever do that, do you? But what's that? We have faith. We have faith in me. Well, all right. You have faith that it'll happen. All right. But due to all the family business that we needed to address, keep your study sheets, review these things, because this study is extremely important with all the things we want to achieve this year. If you follow along in the opening paragraph, again, I've already talked about some of these things 3 weeks ago, but let's revisit them. Faith is the common denominator of every person on earth, every person. Some have faith in their earnings, investments, or savings accounts. Others have faith in their inheritance. Many place their faith in humanity, in the greater good, in their own personal abilities and resilience, while others have faith in their loved ones or mentors. The world often cites faith in science and education, our justice system and democracy in the USA, or even faith in technology and ingenuity. Every person on earth applies faith in something every single day, be it the purity of drinking water, food and meat fit for consumption. I mean, that's an act of faith. A properly synchronized streetlights or air traffic control. Sound and stable bridges when you cross. Transferring of money electronically, just to name a few. But as it concerns the living God, how does he define faith? That's the question. What type of faith does God require human beings to possess? And today, we'll find the answer in the opening verses of Hebrews 11. You should have your Bibles open to Hebrews 11, so please follow along as I read our text today. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's pray. Lord, this study is probably the most important study we've ever done in our church, in our history. It's a challenge to us corporately and to each individual here personally. Because we can't see you, we can't touch you. You at this time in human history have called us to live a life of faith, believing and seeing things that can't be seen. And through that, you get glory. So we do ask that our faith be increased, but we understand for that to happen, we need to do over and above what's required of us in areas of faith. So I pray, Lord, as we start this study through these 40 verses, that these first three would really lay the foundation of what faith is and what you're looking for prior to us looking at all these examples that are found in this chapter. We love you. We thank you for Jesus Christ and for the ability to be saved, to be able to place our faith and trust in Christ and have confidence in him. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would bless the study and reading of your words today, and that we would leave here changed with our eyes open and walking closer with you. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we begin with point. Now, you guys ready? All right, well, here we go. We begin with point number one, defining biblical faith. And first we see that biblical faith has substance. If you look in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance, biblical faith has substance. Substance in this context, I've laid this out here, is the underlying reality, the foundational basis or assurance in what we hope for. Romans 10, verse 17 says, so then, faith comes or cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we first, thank you, Kenzie, we first hear the word of God. And that's not, again, I've talked about this a few weeks back. It's not sound waves reverberating into your eardrums. It's not just hearing. It's understanding, it's receiving. It would be the word hear when there's taught, when Jesus says, he that hath ears, let him hear. What we're talking about here, what the Bible's talking about is, I hear you. That's how we would use it today. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. That's what we're talking about. First, we hear the word of God. And now, because we hear it, I hear you. I hear what you say, God. Now we have the ability to act upon what it says. That is the substance of faith. In other words, faith is tangible. It's not blind, as some say, blind faith. Faith's tangible. It's not blind. I repeat, the faith God requires us to possess is not blind, although it may not always be visible, although it may not always be seen. However, it's manifested in some substantive form. Right here, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Is this a substance? You can hold it in your hands. Our Bible is substantive. It's a book. We can hold it. When we hear what the Bible says, when we hear, I hear you, that is substance. And from that grain of substance can come a very powerful result. When we love our spouses according to scriptural instruction, when we hear those instructions, okay, I get it. You know what? Now we have the ability to act upon it, and we can have a better marriage that brings peace. When we hear the Bible as it concerns our attitude toward our employer, or our work ethic, when we hear it, you know, this is how I'm supposed to be. The Bible gives us instructions on thousands of things. Just this point about our work ethic. We develop a stronger character, and likely, with our employer, we'll enjoy financial benefits. We don't do it for those financial benefits. We do it because the Bible says this is the attitude you should have. This is the work ethic you should have. You know, I believe you, Lord. I want to be that kind of a person. And things happen as a result. It changes our work. It changes our life. And it can likely lead to financial benefits. When we hear biblical prudence and how we manage our finances, we can enjoy financial stability no matter how much or how little money that we have. This is a a powerful biblical truth. The power of biblical faith is that you have substance, you hear, and then you have the ability now to act upon it and things change. That's power right there, folks. Biblical faith goes beyond our human senses. Just as our earthly senses, and you know, the key senses are sight, smell, taste, sound, touch, but there's lots of other senses. Just as our earthly senses give us understanding about the physical world that's around us, that we can see, that we can touch, that we can smell, that we can taste, that we can hear, biblical faith gives us the substance needed to understand the unseen spiritual realm. Are you guys with that? All right. Biblical faith is not, let's talk about this, it's not the absence of common sense or human reasoning, although it goes beyond those abilities. You know, the Bible says, you know, you don't go set out to build a tower without making sure you have enough resources, that you have enough money to finish it, that you have enough pieces and parts to put it all together. You wouldn't do that. The Bible says you wouldn't go to war without knowing how many soldiers that you have, or that you have enough food or ammunition or weapons to be able to actually defeat an enemy. And even more than that, you don't go to war without at least trying to work out your problems first, right? So faith isn't the absence of common sense or human reasoning. You know, we're going to send out churches, and hopefully two churches this year. For sure, one to Dalton, Ohio. And we want to send one out to Bluffton, South Carolina. And there are people that are showing a lot of interest. There's a lot of things happening down in Bluffton, South Carolina right now. But we have plans to do that. It's not just random. It's not just unorganized. We have a plan, a strategy to follow to ensure that we can accomplish these goals. And it's accounting and checking things and looking at things. It's really important. We just don't go just do that. Let me give you another example. We can unequivocally, and think about this, we can unequivocally prove the Bible is a supernatural book inspired by a divine designer. There's things about this book that if you shared all the facts about it in a court of law, it could not be disputed that this is supernatural. Would you guys agree with that? And that's a fact. We could prove without a fact that this book has influenced society more than any other written publication in history. That is a fact. And it is still, it's a fact that the Bible is still the most distributed book of all time. Are these facts? They're facts. And yet, only faith can prove to the human heart that the Bible is the Word of God. Right? Only by faith can a person believe it's true and do what it says. Common sense and reasoning can help, but faith in the end is really the proof. It has to happen that way. How many times have I said this? Countless times. What does the world say? The world says, I want to believe. I want to believe in something. And I'll believe the Bible, but answer this. Answer that. Answer this question. Answer this question. How many of you run into people like that? Yeah. And what happens? It's just an endless circular conversation, isn't it? It doesn't go anywhere. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have those conversations. It's just that that's how the world operates. Answer all my questions and then convince me and then I'll believe. But that's not how God's economy works at all. God says, believe my words, hear my words, I hear you, by faith first. If you just believe me, then I'll answer all your questions. That's how it works. Interesting, isn't it? I can't emphasize the depth of this point enough. So listen, if you have substance that can be clearly seen with the senses, clearly seen. You work out all the details. You add the pros and cons all up. And these facts are understood only by mere human intellect. Then there's no faith involved whatsoever. Boy, and I hear this, I hear it a lot with people. They've got it all figured out. And when that happens, there's no faith involved. Biblical faith is needed for things that we cannot see or touch. So then faith has substance, folks. Next point, B, faith has evidence. Look at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. There was it was reported well about these folks. They have a testimony of faith, and they're all listed here in verses 4 through 40. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Look, how would we know how the world is made without the Bible? How would we know that? We'd just be guessing. We only know such things by faith, by hearing God's word, and then we believe it. And that faith can be seen because it's a substance and it's accompanied by evidence. We can see it. You know, this issue of worlds. Look, this isn't alien worlds. It's the animal world, the plant world, the mineral world, the bacterial world, the microbial world. I think I made that name up. I'm not sure. The human world, the heavens, the heavenly worlds, the atmospheric world. I mean, God made all of these worlds, and we believe that by faith. Listen, this is how this thing works. We can't see it, but we have evidence of it. And the evidence is found in the life of these saints, as I just said in verses 4 through 40, that we're going to study them and we're going to see that they believed God and then there was a result or evidence that took place. And it's not just these Old Testament saints that we're going to be studying, no way. When believers throughout history trust and act upon the words of God by faith, there's always evidence that comes as a result. Always. The evidence or proof is when you first believe and then you act upon what the Bible says. So the evidence is found within the choices that you make in life. You know that? You are or can be, everybody in this room can be a living example. A living testimony of faith. And the evidence is not only found in your life and the life of these saints that we're going to study by the choices they made, believing God, but in the evidence of creation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says, for the invisible things of Him, now check it out, invisible, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. There's evidence. Being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and what? Godhead. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the Godhead is the Bible word for Trinity. So that they are without excuse. So no man's going to stand before God with an excuse. Well, I never heard the gospel. Well, what about all the testimony of creation that is just screaming my name to you? And trust me, if you just trust me and believe that this didn't just happen, God saying these things to the human heart, just trust me, if you look and say, who designed this? There's got to be someone who made all this. Who are you? He'll send you a messenger with the gospel. There's no excuse, none whatsoever. Listen, the evidence of creation, the faith God requires us to possess is not blind, although it may not always be seen. It's manifested in some substantive form. The Bible says, we just read it, that the triune Godhead can be seen in creation. Interesting. And yet, the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are invisible. But in creation, we see things break down in a series of three just like God's, or a series of threes just like God. Think about it. How about reality? Reality is measured by space, matter, and time. Three things. Space. Space is the combination of height, width, and depth. Matter is solid, liquid, gas. Time is past, present, future, or it can be measured in years, months, or days. And each day has hours, minutes, and seconds. Earth, land, water, air, families, dad, mom, kids. Sight, we see in three dimensions. Fire, heat, fuel, oxygen. Missing one of those three? No fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Colors break down into three primaries: red, blue, and yellow. Human beings made in God's triune image, body, soul, and spirit. And the examples go on and on and on, so we can clearly see the substance of the unseen triune Godhead in creation, if we look hard enough. Faith has substance and is always accompanied by evidence. Amen? Faith has substance and is always accompanied by evidence. And you know, biblical faith comes in many, many forms. Now, some of these things I've listed here, this is not a complete exhaustive list. They're just things that came to my mind. So if you're like, wow, you left out this, or wow, you left that out, add it to the list. Share it with me. But biblical faith comes in many forms. Now, sometimes it's easy. It's easy stuff. Now, when I say easy, I don't mean that it's without effort. I don't mean that it's without work. And I don't mean that it's without challenges. I just mean when I say it's easy that it's different from severe or very tough things of faith that we'll talk about in just a moment. But sometimes it's easy. Offering our best to God. You know, just like Abel did. We're going to study Abel, not next week because it's graduation Sunday, but the week after. So offering our best to God, offering our best, doing our best for God. You know, you can do your best or make an offering, but man, when you offer your best because of God, that's faith. And that's not that difficult to do. Or how about doing something despite of uncertainty? You know, we'll study in the weeks ahead, Abraham. You know, God told him, hey, Abraham, I want you to go to a place that you don't know about, a place that you're unfamiliar with. And he said, okay, I'll go. He didn't even know where he was going. Sometimes God asks us to do things in spite of uncertainty. Or how about this? Compliance, complying with God. I'm going to do what you say. With a good heart attitude concerning unusual instructions or commands. How about Noah? Hey, I want you to build an ark. What's an ark? I'll show you. And why? Why am I doing this? Well, because it's going to rain and there's going to be a flood. I'm going to judge the earth. What's rain? Huh? I mean, you just read the story of Noah and the ark. But 120 years of building. What do you think of that? Just think of all the ridicule. And he was a preacher of righteousness. So he was preaching the whole time. So what do you think of that? Just think of the ridicule he faced. But he just kept building. And then he accepted the invitation. God gave the first invitation in the Bible to Noah. Come ye and your house into the ark. Yeah. Compliance with a good heart attitude concerning unusual instructions or commands. Prioritizing commands from God. How about that? Making God's commands a priority in your life. That's not that difficult to do. Joshua 6 is the story of the where Israel marched around the walls of Jericho. And they expected those walls to fall down with no military action. They just did it by faith, obeying what God said. I just want you to circumnavigate this around and around, and I'll bring the walls down. You need to enter into the land first with the most intense, most well-protected city that you're going to come against. That's Jericho. And I'm going to show you how this is going to work out when you enter the promised land. This first difficult scenario, all you got to do is walk around it and blow these horns and do that, and the walls are going to fall down. I'm going to show you my power. Prioritizing the commands of God. Or how about persistent prayer requests? Keep praying until you get a clear answer. I just haven't got an answer yet, Pastor. Yeah, I understand. Just keep praying. You'll get a clear answer. You know, sometimes God's answers aren't exactly what we want. Hello? And we can get involved in trying to manipulate circumstances and things in our life. I know it's true in my life. And so, you know what? I just keep praying. I just keep taking things to the Lord. Keep praying until you get a clear answer. Or how about the active execution of a plan? James 2:17 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is what? Dead, being alone. That's the substance and the evidence. The works associated with your walk of faith. In other words, you believe and then you actively pursue that to accomplish it. So it's an active execution of a plan. So it includes works. There's evidence. Biblical faith can be things that are fairly easy to do, but sometimes it's difficult or even agonizing. How many of you have been there? Yeah, me too. You know, I tend to find it to be something undesirable that we do not want to do or that we prefer not to do, and doing it with the right heart attitude. That takes faith. That makes faith a little bit more this year, I need to do that. That's hard. You know, I put off getting saved for years and years and years. I knew what I needed to do. I knew what I needed to do, but it was agonizing. It was difficult because I looked at my life, even when I was a little boy, and I understood the gospel probably for the first time when I was 12 years old. I actually understood it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure how this is going to bode with my parents because they believe something different. I'm not sure how this is going to go with my friends. And then that kind of stayed with me until I became my own man, and then it was my own life. And my own life, I didn't want, boy, that if I surrender to Christ, then he's going to get in the way. That choice is going to get in the way of all this stuff, all the fun I'm having, not. All the stuff I'm doing is going to get in the, they're going to collide. He's going to be in the way of that. And it took me to come to a place where I said, you know what? What's worth it? Is it really worth it? Is all these things I'm doing, is it really worth it? And I came to the place where I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And it's the best decision I ever make. Some decision that we're struggling with. That was one of them as well. We're all faced with very difficult choices at times. What are you struggling with right now? That God wants you to respond by faith. You know, I remember a progression in my life where first it was salvation, and then it was after salvation it was, oh, you know what? It's not very glorifying to God to continue to smoke dope or to drink liquor and to fight and to cuss and to do all smoking cigarettes and all these things that I knew needed a change in my life because they weren't a good testimony of who I claim to be now. It wasn't that the stopping those things saved my soul. It was because my soul got saved. I trusted Christ by faith, and that was just the beginning of a life of faith and saying, man, I'm going to need to change some of these things. They weren't easy to do. And yet, when I look back at it, all those things I just named, oh my, those were the simple things. It was a change of heart attitude. It was a change of way I perceived my wife or my life and all the thoughts that I had, my thought life. Oh, wow, it's like peeling an onion. You know, I did all these things. And then God starts working on you and challenging you by faith as you learn more about him. And you start to digest more of his words. And then you realize, oh, that needs to change in my life. And it wasn't just simply those outward things. Man, decisions we're struggling with. Something we have a great fear of doing. Maybe for some of you it's witnessing. Maybe for some of you it's reading your Bible all the way through. Maybe for some of you, because you say, well, why is that under the hard category? Really, do I really need to ask that? I always think it's funny when lost people says, oh yeah, I've read the Bible. I'm like, yeah, a few verses. No, I read the whole thing cover to cover. Yeah, I don't know if I believe that. You know you're a liar, don't you? Or being baptized publicly. Ooh, I remember I really was dealing with this, giving a tithe, giving tithes and offerings to the Lord with a good attitude. Or how about serving when you're not confident, serving in an area of our church where you're not confident. Or going on a mission trip, huh? Some of you doing that? Or joining our church, huh? Well, that's an act of faith, just standing up here, isn't it? Yeah, lots of things. Sharing your testimony publicly, making friends. You fill in the blank. Fill in the blank, whatever it is. Something that we have a great fear of doing. Sometimes it's associated with risk, endangering our well-being or personal safety. We'll study the life of Rahab from Joshua 2 in our studies coming up. And she risked her very life to entertain and protect the Israeli spies. Or surrendering something very valuable or precious. Huh. Maybe God wants you to give up something very valuable to you, very precious. Maybe it's an object. Maybe it's an attitude. Or declaring an as-of-yet unrealized reality. You know, I love the story in 1 Samuel 17. I really wanted to, in a normal Sunday, I'd work us through some of these stories. But how about David, where he declared to Goliath, I am a servant of the living God, and I'm going to deal with you. And he was going to kill him, and he brutally explained how he was going to take him to pieces before it even happened. And he did. He did just that. What a story. It's by faith. Or how about refusing to compromise? How about refusing to compromise when the world says do this or do that? I've heard many testimonies from you guys to where maybe you were had an executive position and your job required you to entertain your customers and you had to buy a liquor for them. And I've had testimony after testimony from businessmen said, no, I'm not doing it. And they talked to their employers and worked it out. I'm not doing it. Refusing to compromise by faith. Or how about stepping into a problem rather than avoiding it? Stephen's been preaching through Joshua. And I walked in on you when you were talking about the priests. They had to step in. He said he was going to dry up and make a way to go through, but they had to step into the water before it was dry. They had to step into the flood. Yeah, sometimes you got to step into a problem rather than avoiding it. And you know what? That doesn't come natural to any of us, does it? Does it? Yeah. How about patience while waiting on promises made by God? You know, I remember praying for Linda. You guys know my story, but we got a lot of new people here. I prayed for my wife, Linda, for 3.5 years, morning, noon, and night, that she'd get saved. And hear me when I say this. Not one time did I pray believing by faith that she would actually submit to the gospel and get saved. I never believed that. But I did believe that God desired for her to be saved. And my focus was on him, because I looked at her and said, honey. She's a stubborn, she's not going to get saved. And she would always tell me that, I ain't getting saved. But why did I keep praying when I didn't believe she would? Because I believed God wanted her to be saved, and I believed he wanted me to keep taking her name before her, and I was persistent. There's a couple of them I hit on here. Look, I know some of you in here, I know one person in here, prayed for their husband to get saved for 22 years. 22 years it took. And others, you're still praying for somebody to get saved that isn't saved yet. Don't stop. Don't stop. Have patience by faith. You just keep trusting God. Look, how many testimonies have we heard at funerals where people prayed and prayed and prayed for people to get saved, and they never saw that come to fruition. They never saw their loved one get saved, but then they get saved at the funeral. That happens. Keep praying. Be patient. Or how about joy during suffering and looking for the good in the things that cause you have a broken heart or trouble? There's good in it, the Bible says. In Romans 8:28, there's good. God turns all these things into good. Listen, that's impossible to do without faith, isn't it? But with faith, it's possible. Hello? You guys are all like, did you work outside late last night or something? Are you guys with me? Look, this is not easy stuff. It's impossible to find good in something rotten that's unfolding in your life without faith. But with faith, you can do it. It's powerful. I know. Or how about reaching out physically? You know, I love this story. This is another one. I wanted to work this today, but time doesn't allow it. So I'd ask you to read it. It's the woman with the issue of blood. She knew Christ had the power to heal her by just reaching out, but everywhere she went, when she touched anybody, she made them unclean in the Levitical law and the Jewish law. And so she would avoid people and ultimately was probably alone, probably lived outside of the city, who knows. But she knew Christ could heal her, and she didn't want to approach him. She didn't want to be ridiculed by people and yelled at people, unclean, unclean, unclean. So there was a crowd of people around, and she just kind of got in between them, and all she wanted to do was just reach out and just touch the hem of his garment. If that's all she did, she had so much faith in Christ that he could heal her. That's all she wanted to do, and she did, and she was instantly healed, instantly, of her issue of blood, instantly. And Jesus is like, he's showing his humanity. Who touched me? You know, and Peter's like, I guess I should have just read the story, huh? And Peter's like, well, what do you mean who touched you? You're in a crowd of people bumping you all over the place. Why are you asking who touched you? No. Somebody touched me. I felt virtue. I felt some power going out from me. He knew what was going on. He was exercising his humanity, showing that he's 100% man, but 100% God with this healing. And he turned around and he sees this woman and he calls her daughter. He looked at her. He wanted her to testify of what she had just done. And she talked to him and said what was going on and what happened and testified that she was healed. And he said, no, it was your faith that healed you. It's an incredible story. Sometimes you got to reach out and do something. And you know, you could do that today for salvation or help in time of need. He wants you to reach out to him. Christ is waiting for your next move. All of these things. Biblical faith comes in many forms. So a simple, concise conclusion. In its simplest form, you know what faith is? The kind of faith God's looking for. Faith is believing what God says in the Bible to be true and right. And then acting upon it, folks. That's the faith of Hebrews 11. I can't wait to get into the study. I can't wait to have more time to talk about such matters. That's the faith God wants you to have. Would you bow your heads, please?